Blog Talk Radio.
My brothers and sisters, my name is Sister Leola, and I am the host for Sister Carla tonight. She is joining the camp meeting in Alabama, so we're just going to lift her up in prayer. So let us begin with a word of prayer. I stopped the music because it's time for us to open the line for my sisters and brothers, so let us pray. Oh, Father, which art in heaven, we come before you tonight, Father, to give you thanks and give your praise on this holy Sabbath day. Oh, Father, we thank you because we have seen another Sabbath. We are so grateful, Father, for this Sabbath, for this blessed Sabbath that we have come to worship you and to thank you for this day. I'm asking, Father, to bless my brothers and sisters as they come to the prayer line to share their testimonies, their children, whatever they have, Father, in their heart to talk all the goodness about you, Father, how you have blessed them this week and how grateful they are because you have given them another week. So thank you so much for your goodness. And we thank you for our Savior because he's doing a great work for us, pleading in our behalf. And Father, we thank you for giving your only begotten son. Oh, Father, thank you. We praise you because you, Father, will get the glory and the praise and honor. So now as we lift up the prayer line, asking that you bless each and every one that come to the prayer line, we're asking you to bless this prayer line. We lift it up to you, Father, that you will allow the brothers and sisters to take time to come on in and press one and share. Lord, all those we have missed on this prayer line, we lift them up too, and we pray for them that you keep them and actually allow them to come in to share and testify of the goodness you have been to them. So now we're asking you to bless the reading of your word. We thank you for allowing us to come to the throne of grace and prayer to you. So thank you once again as we begin this prayer line. So bless us and keep us as we are sharing tonight and praising you on this prayer line. Thank you, Father, in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Good evening, my brothers and sisters. This is Sister Leola, and I'm calling from, I'm not in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I'm in towards New Orleans, Louisiana now. So I'm just so grateful to be hosting tonight on this prayer line. And I'm going to say, welcome one, welcome all my brothers and sisters, those that's in the islands, the other overseas, wherever you are welcome. And you, if you have any prayer requests, any praise, call in. The number is, me, Lord, to have that number ready. Brothers and sisters, let me get that number for my brothers overseas. Let me give them the number right quick. Because, and I just dial it on my phone. I don't, give me a second. Let me get Advent Light Ministry for my brothers and sisters. And I have it here. And brothers and sisters, I want to give you the number. It's 319-527-6240. 319-527-6240. That is the number you can dial in and ask for prayer requests, or if you want to share scripture or just give a testimony. God is good. If you feel you have that in your heart, you can just call that number. And thank you so much for coming on Advent Light Ministry to worship with us. And now, brothers and sisters, I'm just going to read just a little word here. It says, the word of God, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Romans 1:16. Blessed is he that readeth, that, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Revelation 1:3. I have two more I would like to read. We have also more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto the light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. That's 2 Peter 1:19. And for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joint and the marrow, the discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. And that's Hebrews 4:1. And please let me read these next two. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Psalms 119:130. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is the light. The proof of instruction or the way of life. Proverbs 6:23. And I'll stop there. And my brothers and sisters, now I am ready to open the line that you can share. Amen. Please press 1. Your line will be open. Amen. We have 1. Right. We have 9, 3, 5. 2, 3, 2. Your line is open. I hope you can hear me. And it's not too, if there's too much noise. 9, 8, 5, 2, 3, 2. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, clearly.
It's not too much noise, is it?
No noise. Very clear.
Amen. Well, you can share right now.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. Thank God for this day. It's sunny. After a lot of rain, now we have a sun and to dry up. So we thank God for that. I would like to read a devotion prayer. Lord, you are powerful and great. We are left and awed at the sheer magnitude of your being. Your image is reflected in every man, woman, and child. Your great hand contains the vastness of the heaven. How great the wonderful you are, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. And we just thanking the Lord because he's so awesome. He's a good God, and a lot of people just don't have the patience to wait on him and ask him for what they need. They just feel like he takes too long, or they just don't have the time. But, you know, practice make perfect, and don't wait till you get something wrong or whatever, and then do it. You have to do it all the time. And like I said, practice make perfect. But, you know, I've come to love God, and I make sure I say it a lot. So I thank him for what I become to love of him. So I know I have to do it round the clock. So I just want to ask the prayer for me and my family, for all the sick, all the ones sleeping outside, for my nephew, Jarvis, especially. I pray the Lord will touch him, give him anointment, and just give him a signal to come in. Him and a lot of others out there. There's a lot of youth where I'm at right now. There's so many killing each other. 16, they just been picking them up here. And I mean, they just killing each other. And I mean, 16 years old. It's just killing, killing, killing. And I just pray for this nursing home and the hospital. And just pray for everyone in general, all of our sisters and brothers on and off the prayer line. Just want to keep them in prayer. Pray for Sister Power where she at. And keep them, Sister Stephanie, were in prayer where she work at. Because she need a lot of prayer. And Sister Tamika. So we just want to pray for all these our family and keep them in prayer. Some of them go through a lot. And we just want to thank God for each and every one of my brothers and sisters, the teachers, the ones that bring message. And thank God for the hosts, all of y'all. And we just want to praise the Lord and finish praying one for another. And everybody have a blessed day. Amen. Mm-hmm. Brother John.
Amen.
Just like to say hello to everyone and happy Sabbath for me and my wife, for y'all. And I just want to say thank God. As she said, we just feel so blessed and everything. And we know that we are. And I try to stay focused on that and keep it in mind. And I'm continue always, like I say, to my dying day to share the word of God to others. You know, that some of them already know about the word of God. We discuss it together. Some of them that don't know too much, I tell them what I've learned and what I'm continually learning from the prayer line. And it's been guiding me in the right way. And I know it has. A lot of things that's been going on in my life has been more better than the past. As the days go by, it seems like they get better and better. And if I have some down days, it seems like the good days always outweigh the bad, you know. And probably because I be counting blessings, I don't have time to dwell on sad things. I'm always counting blessings, and I'm always looking forward and staying optimistic of the future. And I'm also just being thankful for the present. That's the way I see things in my mind, in my state of mind, and I just wanted to share with everyone else. And give God a chance and put him first and keep him with you all the time, every move you make. Pray when things going good. Pray when things not going too good, because you know it's only a little storm. It won't last always. So just wanted to share that, and I'll say God bless. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. I want to thank Brother John and Sister Brenda for coming on and sharing. May God always be with them. I'm not going to talk much, brothers and sisters, because we have people on, and we want to get to each one. So we're going to keep everyone in prayer that share. Thank you, Sister Brenda and Brother John, for coming on to share. Okay, we're going to the next caller, 518-9. Your line is open, and we're going to ask our sisters and brothers, press 1. I want everybody, I'm asking that everybody share and give your testimony about what God has done for you. You can press 1. So, okay, sorry about that. 518-951, your line is open. Amen.
Okay. Happy Sabbath, my dear beloved. Some people it is not yet, but it is a Sister Power calling from Kingstown, Jamaica. I just want to give God thanks that I can be here to join my dear beloved brothers and sisters from all over the world and to listen to their testimony and praise and to just relax. And, you know, it's good for us to listen, you know, to see the growth in our brother and our sister, Brother John and Sister Brenda, praising God and giving God thanks in their own way. And that's a blessing. So I just want to thank, you know, God for working through us on this line so that we can recognize how good and how great He is. And we can also share with others by lifting them up in our daily prayer. So that is wonderful. Yes, my dear beloved, this is Sister Powell again. Thank you all again for praying. And that prayer for praying for Sister Powell with health and strength. And I do know that God hears our prayer. And He had granted us His wish according to His will. So I just want to thank God. Today, my dear beloved, we were on Rose's side, you know, doing some work, and there was just one team member who was there and another one who promised that he would come, but he did not come. But the one team member decided, he's the carpenter married, and he decided that he was going to be there. You know, today is Friday, the preparation day, and Friday, everyone looking something in their hands. So he came and were doing his portion by putting up the lot on the top, and then he cast some black hole, you know, cast it. And he did a good job here alone. You know what? I went out and to get some material, and I went down and I saw him, and he was jolly, very joyful, you know, doing the will. And I just look and I said, you know what, it is good for us as brothers to be in unity and to be able to work together as one. So I just want to give God thanks for, you know, the supplies that really we have got and also the work that is going on. And my dear beloved, I have a nephew. And I saw my father within that nephew, a father who died for over how many years. But I saw that nephew just like when he was alive doing his work, his mason carpentry, you know, being a builder. And I saw my young nephew just like him. And just before the sunset, you know, they knew that I am going to say no work. We are not going to do anything. They understand, you know. They understand what their auntie means. We are not going to do anything in sunset, before, after sunset, you know, before the Sabbath, when sunset, we finish our work. So I am grateful for that. I also was in a battle. I have to say it's a battle. Spiritual warfare is all over. But I thank God for God this Advent light, and also thank God for God's word, and with the prophetess that she gave us the word to study for ourselves. And it was the Sabbath, and we know that the Sabbath is going to be the test, and it is going to be one of the greatest enemy of God's people when we fully surrender and believe in the Sabbath. And these two was on me, two young lady, one of the sister for wrote the house that we make it, and one of my team member was there too. You know, she's there all Sunday. The sister was a Seventh-day Adventist, and she to leave Seventh-day Adventist and say she didn't get the light in Seventh-day Adventist. And the light that she gets is talking in tongues and can pick up people when people are suffering, and that she can pick up that I asked her what Jesus does that. People follow Jesus when he was on earth. Everywhere he go, multitude. And Jesus did not tell people to that they can talk in a different tongue, or, you know, because tongue is a language. And I try to explain it to them, so cut a story short. I try to explain it to them what tongue is, that it's a language, an interpreter. If you have a different language and somebody talking in their language, they have to have an interpreter to interpret what the individual is saying because you can't understand it. So she was saying, that's a special language. And Jesus spoke that in a special language. And Jesus said to the woman, come and work with me. Right? Or I said, bring the Bible, bring the word, and tell me what. Yes, Jesus do good on the Sabbath day. Sure, he did good, but he did not go out there and work. So, my dear brother, we are in a spiritual warfare, and we are attacked. They attack us daily, minutely, and hour. So that is good for us to study the word for ourselves. And then all of a sudden, she said, one thing with the Seventh-day Adventists, they know the Bible and they know the word, but they don't speak in tongues and they cannot see what is happening in another person when they are going through trials. I said, if you are converted and your sister is in need, the Holy Spirit will guide and lead you and tell you, your sister is in need, so you're supposed to go and witness to her, pray with her, comfort her. Is that a strange language Jesus gives? So I'm just asking, my dear beloved, let us pray for the world because we know, even though we share it and let them know, it's a man-made Sunday law, and the Sunday law is coming and the mark of the beast, and all you're trying to let them know, my dear, they are rejecting it because they feel that the Sunday they can talk in tongues, and they get a better life. So let us pray for the world and love them, you know, because they come in with some strange doctrine, and we have to be there to counteract them. So, Salilo and others, please pray for us for here. And God, I will continue to pray for you guys. Thank you.
Yes, amen. Yes, how, amen. Sister Power, it is so true. You know, I have a sister-in-law that speaks in tongues, and they think that the tongues, when the Bible says they speak this thing, that they're not talking unto, they're talking to God when they speak. But you can explain that however you want to, but they, some of them don't understand because they done got mixed up with that. And they really believe that that's what they, you know, because they really believe that. My brother told me that I need to find somebody that's speaking in tongues so he can teach. I said, no, 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 brother, I don't need to find nobody. I said, I got somebody. That body is Jesus, because Jesus showed me, he taught me in his word what, how to behave myself. So I'm just so grateful that the word teach us plain and clear. And as my sister, you can't change their mind. You gotta let God show them. Because I tell you, we are hearing this from the East Coast to the West Coast, South, North and South. It's all over the place. So we are just thankful that we understand God's word on this prayer line. And I want to say, Sister Powell, when we're trying to share the word with these brothers and sisters, I mean, well, the Bible, Christ said, he that do the will of my Father is your sister or your brother. So I try to remember that, but sometimes I may call somebody my sister or my brother, but because I'm so used to calling you all sisters and brothers, I think about it, and then I say, okay, remember. Okay, so I'm just so grateful we can come here and can share with one another and help teach one another because, you know, what you bring, you help teach me something that I'm lacking in, and then I may know something that you may be lacking, but the point of it is God's word never changed. His word is the, so we shouldn't have no difference word. You have something different than what I have. The word stays the same. And I just want to thank you for bringing that to us. And then also I want to thank you for giving us that testimony about the ministry, about the what's going on there in Jamaica. Brothers and sisters, I see this work. We're watching this work on YouTube. And if you need to know the place, if you go to Alex Nation and see how happy that, see those gentlemen, how they working. And look at Sister Power, how she's out there cooking and teaching. And I'm telling you, it's just a wonder what God is doing there. So I just praise God. So Sister Power, keep up the good work, because God is in the midst of it. Amen. So
as we
continue on the prayer line, we're going to lift all the prayers up to the Lord, because you know what? He already know what we need before we ask. So we just thank him for that. And now, brothers and sisters, if there's anyone else like to share, there's anyone else. We have time. We have time, brothers and sisters. Let us open the line for 857-505. Your line is open, and you can give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Hello, Sister Miola. Hello, brothers and sisters on this line. My name's Brother Eli. I'd like to thank God, Sister Miola, for his love. I'd like to thank God for his mercy, because he is good. He's worthy to be praised, Sister Miola and Sister Power. Sister Power and Sister Miola, my prayer request is to pray for my mom. Lift up my mom in prayer. Don't forget to lift up individuals in prayer. Don't forget to lift up Brother Dylan in prayer, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, my dear sister, Deacon Dylan say, I am doing well with my boundaries. And Sister Miola, do not forget to mention that on this line. Do not forget to mention that to Sister Power, my beloved sister from Jamaica. Don't forget to mention that to Sister Miola, that I am doing well with my boundaries, Sister Miola. Thank you. Thank you for opening my line, Sister Miola. Happy Sabbath, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, don't forget to tell Sister Power, my dear sister, what Brother Dylan say. He say, I'm doing well with my boundaries. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. We want to praise God. Brother Eli is working. So we give God thanks that he's doing good with his boundaries, and also he's listening. He's understanding, Sister Powell, when he come to the prayer line, that we always lift up his friends, Javel and all of them. And you know, you don't have to request every time and you know, just say things like they hurting you or doing that. Brother Eli is learning. He's doing really good. So we just praise God that he's giving him that understanding, and that he continue to be blessed. Amen. We just want to thank God for that. Sisters and brothers, if no one want to press one, we have about 16 minutes. We're going to, no one else, if no one else, amen, we're going to open the line for 518-482. We're opening your line. Amen. Your line is open.
Thank you, Sister Leona, for opening my line. Happy Sabbath to one and all online this evening. I thank God for the Sabbath, because it's really, really a day of rest. It's a day of rest and gladness for me. I would like to sing this song, Blessed and Quietness, because the Sabbath should be a quiet time for each of us. Joy is there flowing like a river since the calm Father has come. He abides with us forever. Make the trusting heart his home. Blessed quietness, holy quietness, what assurance in my soul. On the stormy sea, Jesus speaks to me. How the billows cease to roar. What a wonderful salvation, where we always see his face. What a perfect habitation, what a quiet resting place. Blessed quietness, holy quietness, what assurance in my soul. On the stormy sea, Jesus speaks to me, how the billows cease to roar. And my dear brothers and sisters, I can say that we all need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives for all of us on this prayer line to be united as one, because we have to be united. I'm just going to give you a little illustration of a father, a boy, a father who loves to play with his son. And, you know, every afternoon he came home. He gave him some pieces of papers that he brought with him from his workplace. He tore them up. He had them in his pocket, and he gave it to him for him to do some puzzles to fix it up. So one afternoon, he thought he was the smartest person. So he gave his little son the pieces of paper, which this paper has the world map was fixed up behind it. He thought he was going to give his son something to put together, and this was going to take up all of the afternoon with him take up all of his time for a good time. But the son finishes in no time at all, and he came back and he says, "Daddy, I'm finished." "Whew!" he said, "Son, how did you finish so quickly? How did you finish so quickly?" He was shocked. He says, Dad, it was very, very easy. He says, at the back of the papers that you gave me, a map was there at the back, and there was a picture of Jesus. And what he did, he just put the pictures of Jesus together, and the entire map puzzle that he had was finished. This lesson is, if we put Jesus in our lives today, it would make things very simple. If we make Jesus first in our life, everything in our life will be in place. And we are all to stay connected to each other as we are on this prayer line. We have to stay connected to each other. This illustration is simple, but it just tells us that it's important for us to keep connected. And if the Holy Spirit is not with us, we cannot win souls for Jesus. We have to be connected. So let us remember that on this Friday evening, the Sabbath evening, if we are not connected, we are not going to win souls. So we have to let us keep united. And that is what this song is saying. Like rain that falls from heaven, like the sunlight from the sky, so the Holy Ghost is given, coming to us from on high. So unless we have the Spirit of God in our lives, we have to stay connected, and we have to do what God asks us to do. And my prayer for us this evening is that we stay connected, because I don't know how long this prayer meeting was. This prayer service that we are carrying on here. But, you know, a lot of people have dropped out, and we have to pray them back. We have to pray for them that God would send them back to this line so that they would come and listen to God's word. We have to make it more interesting so that others will come and hear God's word. So this is my little advice, and this is my little, that's what I have noticed on this prayer line for us to do. We have to do pray more, pray, and sing that God would keep the Holy Spirit near us, so that when people come on this line, they will be able to hear about God, the goodness of God. I'm not saying they're not saying, we're not hearing about the goodness of God, because we testify all the time, and we give praise to God, but we thank God for this Sabbath day, this quiet Sabbath day, the quietness of the Sabbath. It's a different day from all of the rest. So let us pray and keep together. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. This is Sister Cancinelli from upstate New York. God bless you all, and have a happy Sabbath.
Amen. Amen. But hold on, Sister Cancinelli. I'm gonna have you to do a prayer, what you said we need. And listen, I love that, and I believe that we should be united. Sister Constantine, without being united on this prayer line, you know, I would have been gone off, because there was people want to pull me in another ministry. From the prayer line now, it was split. They want to pull, and, oh, you come here. And I said, no, I started with this. I'm going to stay. So I give God praise, sister, because as you were saying, I was just saying, like, Lord, this is so true. This is so true, Father. And we need to pray, and we need to stay united. You know what the Bible says? Those that stay united stay strong. But those that fall apart, you fall weak to weakness. So, Sister Constantine, I'm going to ask you to lift up us on this prayer line, and that those that have fallen off, may God draw them back, because being united, the Bible says, being united, you stand firm, and we stand together, and he say, because united we stand, and divided we fall, and we don't want to be divided. We are standing together strong, as Jesus has told us. So, my sister, could you please offer us a word of prayer? Amen. And we had some requests. Sister Powell, pray for her ministry, that the people will stay. And Sister Constantine, that's another thing. Pray that they stay united in Jamaica, that they would be strong together, and they would be able to do a whole lot of work. They would do a whole lot more standing united than divided. And then also Sister Brenda and Brother John been praying for family and friends around because of the crime that has happened in Louisiana. Amen. And lift up Sister Katie. Sister Katie always praying for her twins and her son. And keep her in prayer too. Amen. So just lift us up, and Sister Carla is out on a camp meeting, for God to keep her safe and the people at the camp meeting. Thank you, sister. You can begin.
Yes. Most gracious Father, we come before you on this Sabbath evening, the beginning of this another of your holy Sabbath day of rest. We thank you, Lord, for these sacred hours that you have caused to come down to this earth again. and that we can meet on this line, though few in numbers, Lord, we can meet and we can pray, because we know the time is coming when we would not be able to meet in this fashion. So, Father, this evening we come before you. You know each one on this prayer line, who was here and who left. Father, you know just where they are. And may your Holy Spirit make them uncomfortable wherever they are, that they may be able to return to you, to give you praise and thanks. We thank you for the faithful ones who have held this prayer line up. Sister Powell, Sister, I can't remember all the names, but Sister, I don't remember names anyway. But Father, you know all the names that were on this prayer line. We pray for Sister Stephanie, Sister Carla, Sister Brenda, and even Sister Leola, who is leading out at this time, Father. I pray that you will continue to touch their hearts and touch their minds, Lord, that you will be able to help them to discharge your word, to give your word, to help those who are in darkness, those who they meet along life's pathway each day, that they may give them some words of encouragement, even though we are few in number on this line. We know that your presence is with us. And Father, we know that this is your holy Sabbath day of rest, and we need to rest in you. We pray that all those who are not on this line this evening are really resting and keeping your Sabbath day holy. Father, I pray that you will speak to their hearts, speak to their minds, Father, because we know that the time is late and it's later than we think. So, Father, we pray that you will help us to get more serious, that we will able to direct souls, Lord. Souls, so many are dying each day without you, Father. I pray that you will give them the understanding, the sense, the nearness of your coming. And we who know how near your coming is, help us, Lord, not to get tired, but that we will continue to labor for souls, because they are dying, Father. They are dying. We pray for the young people that was on this line, Lord. I do not know their names. I do not know them. But, Father, you know where they are. You know just where they are. And I pray that you will continue to make them uncomfortable, that they may find their way back to you. I pray that you will be with... Oh, yes. You will be with Brother John and Sister John. You will help them, Lord, that as they come on this line in their own little simple way to represent you, that they would be an encouragement to those who are listening. They may not have big words to give you praise, Father, but in their own little simple way, they are telling you how much they love you and want to serve you. Father, I pray that you will bless them and bless their children and grandchildren. Be with Brother Sister KB, who always come in this line and ask for prayer for her grandchildren, Father. I present them before you this evening, that you will touch their little minds, touch their hearts, and I pray that her grandson be healed, because he was sick, Lord. I don't know his condition, but Father, I pray that you will continue to touch his little body, that he will be restored to his wanted health and strength, because we know that you are not a God who rejoices in people who are sick. You bless us and you are very interested in our health. You want all of us to be healthy and to be an example to those around us as Christians. So, Father, we pray that you will bless this prayer line. Bless all those who usually come and are not coming anymore, Father. I do not know their names, again I say, but Father, you know just where they are and what they are doing. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will drive them back to this prayer line. Help us not to get tired and weary, because you, when you were on this earth, you were not tired of calling men. You always was out there doing your work, healing, preaching, and giving the word. Help us, Lord, that we will follow in your footsteps. Strengthen us, Lord, and as we try to keep this Sabbath day holy, help us, Lord, that we will be really relaxed and be blessed at the end of it. And I just want to ask all these blessings in no other name but in the worthy name of Jesus, with every forgiveness of our sins as we go through this holy Sabbath day of rest. Thank you, God. Thank you for keeping us faithful to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, sister, for lifting us up in prayer. And God will be with us tonight. Amen. Now, brother, our brother is here to begin. And we just want to say, Father in heaven, we ask that you be with the speaker as he's on now and he's ready to start. We ask you to give him your Holy Spirit, to give him your word, and that he can teach and that he can give us something, Lord, to bless us tonight. And we just thank you for him tonight. And now we're going to open his line. We ask him, you to lead and guide him, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Amen, brothers and sisters. I'm going to open the line. We want to welcome our brothers and sisters again, and we thank you for coming to join us tonight. And our speaker, let me see. Okay. 319-895.
Happy Sabbath.
Okay.
Yes,
okay,
definitely. Happy Sabbath, Sister Leola.
Brother O'Neill
Sabbath,
is
brothers and sisters.
Tonight, brothers and sisters. Amen. Go ahead, Brother O'Neill.
Yes, I want to thank each and everyone for being on the line tonight. I want to thank God for his grace and mercy that he has guided us safely to another week. He has provided for us all that we are in need of. And I pray that we'll continue to put our trust and our confidence in God. As I will be sharing a very important topic, righteousness by faith. Two men prayed, showed what was in the heart and mind. So two men pray is coming from Luke 18, verse 9 to 14. And I want some reader for me tonight. I only have 20 slides on my presentation. And I just want some readers tonight because we're going to look on some important things about righteousness by faith. And it's in line with that prayer of the Pharisees and the publican. Two men prayed, showed what was in the heart. Righteousness by faith. Two men prayed, shows what was in the heart. So my objective of the presentation today is humility of heart is what God accepts. One, God knows our heart. Two, we are all even at the foot of the cross. Number four, we need the righteousness of God. Let us pray. Dear my God and our Father, I want to thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you've given unto us, Lord. It can be a life in our right mind. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me of any sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Let me be seen or heard. Pray that the Holy Spirit will be the instructor to teach us aright, O Lord, because we all in need of your knowledge, wisdom, understanding, so that we can live up to your way. And pray for each and every one. Pray that you'll be sick among us, O Lord. Pray that you will bring healing and restoration. Pray for those who are struggling, so that provide a means to the situation. Father, pray for everyone's line to your heal them. Desire for their children, Lord, back to your prayer that your will be done. Pray for each family, Lord, pray that you bless accordingly to your will. Father, thank you, Lord, for my grant. That your will defy us in the Amen. So, Luke 18. Can somebody read in 18, verse 9? You can press 1 and Sister Leola will unmute you. Luke 18, verse 9 to 14.
Anyone would like to read it? Okay, I can read it, brother. Okay, 18:9 through. Amen. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortionist, unjust, adulterous, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess, and the abandon afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we see there, the Bible is so clear. A certain parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. This was the Pharisees' attitude. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And he goes on to tell God why he thinks he's righteous. He tells God why he thinks he's righteous. And he compares his life with someone else's life, which is the publican. In other words, many times Christians compare themselves with a drunkard. Many times Christians compare themselves with a prostitute. So many times Christians compare themselves with a brawler. And thank God that I'm not like other men. But the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 3, what it says, Romans chapter 3, let me skip there. It says, all, not some, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And verse 24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ. So through Jesus Christ, we can have righteousness, but no righteousness of our own. Because all our righteousness is like filthy rags. You know what Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, it says, but we are all as unclean things, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquity like the wind have taken us away. So when the Pharisees come to God and proclaim him himself that he's righteous based on he's a practicing Jew, he's following the Jewish nation, they give their tithes, their offering, enough mint and all these things. And they think that what they're giving, in their giving, they don't say that, he didn't say that he gives just once. He gives twice in the week of all that I possess. So he says what he's giving to God, which is his material things, in other words, are rendering praise to God, that will automatically grant him righteousness. So based on what he's doing. So based on his doing, he thinks that he can be justified by that. You know what the publican says now? He says, the publican in verse 13, standing afar off. He's not even close by. He's standing afar off. He don't think he's worthy to come close in the presence of God. He wasn't even worried about the Pharisees there. He came for a purpose. Standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This man recognized his condition, and he have a need, and he came to God with that need, because he knew that by coming to God, God can answer his prayer. He come with humility. He come with a determination to be cleansed. In other words, the Jews see themselves more righteous than everyone else. In Isaiah chapter 65, so the Jews have a bigamy and bigotry about other people, a self-righteousness. They think that they are above everybody, and everybody else is below. In Isaiah chapter 65, verse 5, we're going to look at some texts that speak about this, which says, stand, listen carefully to this text, in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 5, which says, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. He says, stand. In other words, stand off, because I am holier than thou. That was the notion, the thought of the Jews. In Mark chapter 2, verse 16, the book of Mark chapter 2, verse 16, Mark chapter 2, verse 16 says, and when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciple, how is that he eateth and drinketh with the publican and the sinners? And Jesus responded, because I like when Jesus responds. Jesus responded in verse 17. When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are old have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That was the purpose of Christ. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, they shall call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sin. And that's why John the Baptist was speaking on the Jordan, and he saw Christ coming in John 1. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. So the purpose of Christ coming into the world was to save sinners. Because the Bible says that there's none that is righteous, no, not one. No one can declare righteousness of himself. Luke 9, verse 49. In Luke 9, verse 49, it says, "And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he followed not with us." So the Jewish nation had this bigamy with them, and some of the disciples have that same thing. They thought that we're doing stuff, and they should not be. It should only be those with them. He said, Master, he says, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he followed not with us. Meaning that he was not among the selected disciple at that point. So they should not have been doing these things. In other words, in John, in Luke 15, verse 2, Luke 15, verse 2, it says, "And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receives sinners and eateth with them." So that's in alluding to our earlier text in Mark 16. And on our theme text that we read in Luke 18, verse 9 to 4. In Acts 10, verse 28, reads, "And he said unto them, Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." So the anointed Peter would not receive others, meaning that the centurion there, he did not want to. He said the Jews should not have any connection with the Gentiles. But God showed him something different. God was removing that bigotry. So when God was showing him the thing with the unclean thing coming down in his vision, he said, "God, you know that I don't eat anything that is common or clean." God was trying to show him something that he should not look down on anyone, regardless of their faith or their stand. If they may be atheists, maybe whatever they are doing, they may be Buddhist, they may be Muslim, whatever, they were deep and steep in sin. God is saying to us not to look down on them, because the same purpose that Christ came to do, his followers should have that same purpose. If he can to save that which was lost. Acts 18, verse 12 and 13. Then we're going to read some quotes. Acts 18, verse 12 and 13 reads, "And when Gallio, the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, This fellow persuade men to worship God contrary to the law." Hear that? So these people have a belief system that should be supreme, and no one should come against it, even if it is not God's will. It's their setup. They set up things according to their will. And the Jewish system today is the same thing. It's the same setup with the Jewish system, because they think that they are more righteous than anyone else, and they have more privilege than any other. We see what happened in 70 AD. And we see when the gospel, Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, the gospel was not just for the Jews. The Jews were supposed to be the dispenser of the gospel throughout the world, but they held it to themselves. So why they hated Christ and his disciples and the followers of Christ is because they were living a different standard. They were trying to show men the kingdom of God, what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is to save sinners and to help men and women to turn from sin to righteousness. In the book Faith and Works, page 20, paragraph 1, Sister White here speaking in vision. This is a vision. Anytime she says the light given me of God place this important subject above all question in my mind. Justification is wholly of grace and not procured by any works that fallen men can do. The matter has been presented before me in clear lines that if the rich man has money and possession and he make an offering of the same to the Lord, the false idea come in to spoil the offering by the thought he has merit the favor of God. So that's what the Pharisees was doing. Based on his offering, he thought that he has merit the favor of God, that the Lord is under obligation to him to regard him with special favor because of his gift. That was the Pharisees' thought. And there's many among us have the same thought in themselves. In Ephesians chapter, Jeremiah 17 verse 10 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord searcheth the heart. So God knows what is in our heart. He went to pray and despise others, but God knows what is in our heart. He tried the reins even to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. So God knows everything. One of the most important texts in the Bible that speak about righteousness by faith is Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 8 and 9. It says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. It is what? The gift of God. Romans 3 verse 16. Romans 3 verse 16 is an important text because that's what it's a gift of God. The gift of God, which is eternal life. Romans 3 verse 16. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's not of works. So we can't work our way into heaven by our good works. We are saved to perform good works. So not what we do is going to inherit. It's the righteousness of Christ that we need. Five BC, that's five Bible commentary, page 1122.1. It says, works, no plea for salvation. Works, the subheading said, works, no plea for salvation. Our acceptance with God is sure only through his beloved Son. And good works are the result of the working of his sin-pardoning love. They are no credit to us, and we have nothing accorded to us from our good works by which we may claim a part in the salvation of souls. I'm going to read over that line again. They are no credit to us, and we have nothing accorded to us for our good works by which we may claim a part in the salvation of our soul. See what she says. Salvation is God's free gift to the believer, given to him for Christ's sake alone. The troubled soul may find peace through faith in Christ, and his peace will be proportionate to his faith and trust for the salvation of his souls. Faith and works. Faith and works, page 91.1. It says, those who trusted wholly in the righteousness of Christ, looking to him in living faith, know the Spirit of Christ and are known of Christ. You hear that? Those who trust wholly in the righteousness of Christ, looking to him in living faith. So the publican was practicing what? Living faith. He came to God. He couldn't even look into heaven. The Bible says he was smoting his breast and saying, be merciful unto me, a sinner. So, knowing the Spirit of Christ and are known of Christ, simple faith enables the believer to reckon himself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Listen to this paragraph carefully, this one paragraph I'm going to read. Should we try to unfold these precious promises to the worldly wise, they would but ridicule us. But the natural man receive not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Faith and Works, page 91.3. It says, lukewarm disciples, wholehearted professors, who are not imbued with the Spirit of Christ, are not able to discern the preciousness of his righteousness, but they go about establish their own righteousness. Let me read over that line again. It says, lukewarm disciples, Alicia, think that she's rich and increasing goods and in need of nothing. Cold-hearted professors who are not imbued with the Spirit of Christ are not able to discern the preciousness of his righteousness. This man was blind to the righteousness of Christ because he came in the temple to pray to God, his own. He prayed unto himself. The Bible says he prayed unto himself. He wasn't praying unto God. He was praying unto himself, because those who come to God must tell God who they are. I'm a sinner saved by grace. But they go about to establish their own righteousness. So he was trying to establish his own righteousness. And Isaiah tells us already in Isaiah 64 verse 6, all our righteousness is like filthy rags. So I give you the word for that, that Hebrew word for that. It is a disgusting thing. Our righteousness is like filthy rags. It's disgusting, in other words. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. Listen what Habakkuk says in Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up, his soul that is lifted up. His soul was lifted up. And we know who was lifted up. Satan was lifted up. He said, I want to be like the Most. I'm going to be the Most High. I'm going to take over the reins in heaven. But the just shall live by his faith. But the just shall live by what? His faith. Faith and Works, this is an important book speaking about our faith and our works. It says, page 94.1, he who is trying to reach heaven by his own right works is keeping the law, is attempting an impossibility. So, he who is trying to reach heaven by his own works in keeping the law is attempting an impossibility. Remember the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7. The Apostle Paul said, the thing that which I would do, I do not. He saw another law, whining about the law in his member. So they said it. So Apostle Paul was wrestling with himself. The things which I would do, I do not. And things that I wanted to do, I would not. And he was seeing the conflict that was going on with himself. But then he recognized someone special that could cleanse him and could help keep him from falling, as Jude 1:24 tells us. He said, man cannot save without obedience, but his work should not be of himself. Hear that? Man cannot be saved without obedience, but his work should not be of himself. His work must be of God. It is God in you to do of his will and of his good pleasure. That's what the Apostle Paul says. It's Christ in you. In other words, in Colossians 1, Christ in you is the what? The hope of glory. He says, if a man would save himself by his own works, he might have something in himself in which to rejoice. Yeah? The effort that man makes in his own strength to obtain salvation is represented by the offering of Cain. You hear that? It's represented by what? The offering of Cain. It says, all that man can do without Christ is polluted with himself and sin. But that which is wrought through faith is acceptable to God. offering of Cain not be accepted. That's why the angel implored him, do it over again. Do it the way like your brother do it. But he said, no, here's how I want to do it. I want my do my own thing. And the rebellion spirit, which is in Lucifer, was in him. And you see what he did after. Killed his brother. Because what? He rejected righteousness of Christ. He says, the effort that man makes in his own strength to obtain salvation is represented by Cain. So we know that all that man can do is polluted. All our righteousness is like filthy rags. It says here, Romans chapter 3. Go back to Romans chapter 3, yeah. See what this says in Romans chapter 2, yeah. From verse 25, it says, whom God has set forth to be the partition through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin that are passed to the forbearance of God. Verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Christ. So it says, God has set forth to be our propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin that is passed to the forbearance of God. And John, 1 John chapter 1 here, 1 John 1 verse 9, a well-known text, 1 John 1 verse 9. First John 1 verse 9 says, verse 8 and 9, from verse 8 and 9 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, we accept the righteousness of Christ. When we confess our sin, we are actually acknowledging the righteousness of Christ and asking for cleansing. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what Christ wants to do in us. James chapter 4, verse 6. What God does, he says, but he giveth grace, wherefore he said, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So God what? Resists the proud and give grace unto the humble. Hear what the wise man Solomon says, Proverbs chapter 6. Hear what he says in Proverbs chapter 6. Hear what he says in Proverbs says, 6 things that the Lord ate. Hear what he says. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 19. Proverbs chapter 6, from verse 16 to 19. Hear what he says. These 6 things that the Lord ate. Yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue. But he was lying. And hands that shed innocent blood. So he was killing a man with his words right there. He, an art that devised wicked imagination. So his mind was corrupt. Feet that be swift to run to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. He knows nothing of this man. He that soweth discord among the brethren. So those are the 16 that God ate. Faith and Works, page 4BC, 4 Bible Commentary, page 1148.9, says, those who receive the truth works by love, purify their souls, are loyal to God, honor him by obedience to his law, which is holy, just, and good. The spirit of true fasting and prayer is the spirit which yields mind, heart, and will to God. So, gives the prerequisite of true fasting and prayer here. The spirit of true fasting and prayer, it yields mind, number one, heart, and will to God. So the entire being. Christ was in the attitude of giving everything to God every time he comes to pray. The publican came in that same manner as well. But the Pharisees came with a different. He didn't yield his mind to God, praying unto himself. His heart wasn't with God, and his will was not of God. Because if he came to pray, he should be praying for the publican, not praying a prayer, praising himself and looking down on this man. Anytime you're looking down on someone, either you're going to lift them up, but not to put them down. Because all have sinned, 6:23, short of the glory of James chapter 4, verse 10 to 12. James, go back into James again, chapter 4, what God does. James chapter 4, verse 10 to 12. James chapter 4, verse 10 through 12, it says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So, you see what happened? The Bible said, this man went away more justified. Speak not evil one of another, virgin. He that speaketh evil of his brother, and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judgest the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. So, the Pharisees professed to be a law-abiding citizen. It means that he was keeping the law. First four commandments, render, thou shalt not have another gods. Thou shalt not make any graven image unto the Lord. Honor thy father and mother. Remember the Sabbath. But the next six commandment is about our fellow men. Honor thy father, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house and all that. It speaks about how we treat our neighbor. But he was judged. Therefore, verse 12. Therefore, is one lawgiver. Who's the lawgiver? Christ. On Mount Sinai, Christ that gave his Ten Commandments to Moses. There's one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judges another? In other words, huh? Who art thou that judges another? Judge not and he shall not be judged. Condemn not and he shall not be condemned. Only one judge. That should be a judge and our law. Imagine that. Says here, this is from Testimony Volume 5, page 337.2. God does not regard all sinners' sin as of equal magnitude. You heard that God said? What she said? God does not regard all sin as of equal magnitude. There are degrees of guilt in his estimation as well as in that of finite man. But however, trifling this or that wrong is wrong in their course may seem in the eyes of men. No sin is small in the sight of God. Hear that? The sin which man is disposed to look upon as small may be the very one which God accounts as our great crimes. The drunkard, his sin will exclude him from heaven, while pride, right there with the Pharisees, while pride, selfishness, and covetousness on rebuke. But these are the sins that are especially offensive to God. Hear that? The three of them is what? Pride, selfishness, and covetousness. But these are the sins that are especially offensive to God. Alluding, she's speaking to James 4 that I just read. And give grace unto the humble. What she says? God resists the proud. And Paul tells us that covetousness is what? Idolatry. Those who are familiar with the denunciation against idolatry in the word of God will at once see how grave an offense is this sin is. Micah chapter 7, one of the texts that turned me around, life around. This is one of the texts that turned my life around. Micah chapter 7, verse 18 through 19. Is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Publican saw that and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. Retain not his anger forever, because he delight in mercy. God delight in mercy. Blessed are the merciful, the Beatitudes, because they shall what? Obtain mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. When Nehemiah prayed, he said, we have sinned. When Isaiah prayed, he said, we have sinned. Jeremiah prayed, he said, we have sinned. Isaiah prayed, he said, we have sinned. Daniel prayed, he said, we have sinned. Not they have sinned, we have sinned. They weren't comparing them, claiming no righteousness of their own. God will cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. This man went away justified. Christ's object lesson, page 186, paragraph 2. They knew that the explanation lay. The very word they had uttered as scornful charge. This man received sinners. The soul came to Jesus, felt in his presence that even for them there was escape from the pit of sin. You hear that? The souls who came to Jesus fell in his presence that even for them there was escape from the pit of sin. You hear that? Why they came to Jesus? Because there was escape from the pit of sin. The Pharisees had only scorn and condemnation for them. Christ greeted them as children of God. You hear that? Estranged indeed from the Father's house, but not forgotten by the Father's heart. Hear that? Those who are in the world who have not accepted Christ. What is she says? Estranged indeed from his Father's house, but not forgotten by the Father's heart. God yearns for the sinner. God desires for the sinner to come to him. Very misery and sin made them only the more object of his passion. You hear that? The deeper they go, the more God is trying to rescue them from the pit of sin. And their very misery, sin made them only the more the object of his passion. The further they had wandered from him, the more earnest the longing and the greater the sacrifice for their rescue. I want to save sees all of us. He sees all of us as his asset. Who have accepted him, have not. As Christ seek to save. God send not his son into this world, John 3, verse 17, to condemn the world, but through him came to save. That's why the Apostle Paul, when he fully understands the plan of redemption, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, said, "Now, therefore, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not that I live, but Christ that liveth in me. The life now that I live as the Son of God gave his life." And in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He fully understands the plan of redemption. He knows that it's not righteousness by works, it's righteousness by faith. He fully submitted his life into God's keeping. God wants to do it for each and every one. Pray that you never see yourself better than the prostitute. Never see yourself, never see yourself more better than the drunkard. We see them as subjects for the kingdom. Because God has rescued us from the condemnation of sin, the life eternal. He expects us sympathy to those in the strand of an eternal Father. Just acknowledge your love, your grace, and your mercy. Lord, here for one that has came to this planet to rescue. One person. But you died at all. Can have access to the throne of grace. To find help. Time of it. Give us, O Lord, not living according to your will. Help us, O Lord, see your divine purpose. Help us, O Lord, to understand the plan of redemption. The further man went away from you, more earnestly. Remember your words that all like sheep has gone astray. All of us, O Lord. You came for all. Thank you, O Lord. We pray for those who have not known it. Help them, O Lord. Through influence. Helping them in this world. Help us not regard ourselves holier than thou. Have your own way, O Lord. Be the sick among us, Lord. Those weary. Pray for those who are homeless, O Lord. Pray for the drunkard, prostitute, murderer, thief, all who are practicing these things. I pray, O Lord, that your grace, your spirit move upon their hearts. Turn them around. Lord, done it for us, Lord. So I pray, Lord, them as we'll do it for them. I pray that they will accept your grace. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done and what you're doing. In Jesus' name, we pray. Thanks. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And brothers and sisters, we want to thank Brother O'Neill for bringing us the message. And then also, Brother O'Neill have left time. If there's anyone that would like to comment or just ask questions or whatever you have, you can take yourself off the host queue and press 1. So you can ask your question or just want to comment on what he said. what he spoke about tonight. Amen? Well, but I just wanted to say just this short information. Well, I just want to thank you for bringing this message, Brother O'Neill, because I remember when I was a Baptist. Maybe because I've heard a lot of people say it. They say, I'm not what I am. Oh, I don't know how it goes, but I'm not what I used to be. But once we done change and done got from what we used to be and we done clean ourselves up a little bit, now we look at those out there in the world and say, oh, why she wear that short skirt? I'm short pants. And I can say, Lord, I can testify to all that. And I say, Lord, let me bite my tongue. Because, and I think about it, what did you did when you was young? When you did the same thing. So I just say, Lord, have mercy. Because when you point this up about the publican, Lord, how many of us have did it? So I just praise God for everything God's word have a lesson for us. And I thank God for this lesson that you brought out, because I've learned something. Not that I have not read it, but sometimes when this brought out, sometimes you get it, you know. And I just thank God I got it tonight. Amen. So I'm going to stop there, and I just want to thank God for his word. So I'm going to ask, is anyone else?
Amen.
Let me make sure I can see. You can go ahead, Brother O'Neill, if you had something to say.
Yeah, I want to thank God for his grace and his mercy. Now he's working in our lives so that we can his sacrificial offering that he has placed upon us so that we can have life eternal. God has given unto us to encourage us and do likewise unto others. Those who have received grace dispense grace. About an announcement about an event that is taking place in New York next week and on Thursday the 4th to Sunday the 7th, upstate New York at the Norwich SDA Church in Bennington, New York. The Naaman Wilson, Dr. Thomas Jackson, Dr. Margaret Song, Dr. Laverne Jackson, which is the wife of Dr. Thomas Jackson, in a music selection by former R&B artist and model David and Marion Lewis. They will be there. Their life has been changed by accepting Christ. Sending this thing out to you. These two persons, Naaman and Thomas Jackson, has been in the health ministry for 30 plus years now. They have been traveling all over the world, giving their wisdom to others, heard that both of together, but they have not been the same platform together, something like this, other than on Zoom or whatever, but they're going to be in person to share these knowledge on diabetes, high blood pressure, to combat cancer naturally, depression, plant-based cooking class will be going there, and private consultation. So in the New York area, the Albany, and all these here around, which is about an hour plus drive, you can check it out. MM, if you have a pen, you can go on MM Outline. I go on the Norwich SDA Church to see their events, and you could
just
check it out. So,
Brother O'Neill, text it to me and can send it to others.
Okay, no problem.
So, brother,
yeah.
Okay, let me ask anyone. Anyone like to share? Take yourself off the host queue, and I'll open your line. But if there's no one, I'll give you a minute or so, because we got like two more minutes. And if there's no one, anyone wanted to say anything, they would have taken themselves off and they would have pressed it by now. But there's no one, Brother O'Neill, so we just want to thank you. Send me that text and I'll send it to others if they like
No problem.
Watch it. But
yeah,
we want to thank
you. I'll be there by Friday to support.
Get some of that information for us so you can bring it on the prayer line, you know, since you're going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, please. Diabetes, mm-hmm. blood pressure, the main things,
and cancer, all form of cancer. If we understand, but since 2020, cancers have risen dramatically in our country, all different form and even new form of cancer affecting men. Within our church, a lot of men are dying from prostate cancer right now.
Oh, wow.
This is something very important that we have to analyze.
So those in the area
can share it with your friends.
Okay, yeah, thank you. So, Brother O'Neill, we want to thank you for bringing us the message, and we want to thank our brothers and sisters. And we're just going to go and close out, and we just got 46 minutes, and I'm going to play this song. I'm going to play, that's just a Powell favorite song. I love the song, too, Lead Me to Calvary. So, thank you once again.